No way.
We're back and better than ever. Welcome back to the Full Court Press podcast.
The Full Court Press.
It's a terrible name, and I'm glad they're dead.
Still a better name than the Thunder.
Hey, my name's Lutha. Come on, man. Just shoot me.
How could there be more? I don't understand.
Dear God. Joined today here by Bald.
Fuck you guys. He's ass. This will come back to bite him in the ass.
Sandy.
I heard he had sex with a couple thousand thugs. Yeah, I got a load of handle at the time for conception.
And Duke?
Donkey basket.
This is objectively a great idea.
Finger wag. I prefer not.
It's the only podcast made by fools for fools. Or should I shoot myself?
No.
Figuratively.
Everything will be fine.
Cole Anthony's doing good too? Oh, wow.
Yeah, he just got re-upped.
He did.
All right, welcome back to Full Court Press Podcast, the only podcast made by fools for fools. I'm joined this week with Sandy. All right, Sandy, say hi.
That's the Full Court. Full Court. We're back. And better than ever. Full.
Guy gets one good assist, and all of a sudden, you're back on the bandwagon.
I never left. I never abandoned my guy, Full.
For those listening on the podcast, you'll hear in the background some games. We're going to just the real opening day is today as we swap from game to game. Discuss a little bit of what we expect to see this season, as well as just comment on what we're watching live right now. I'm in the second quarter of the Oklahoma City Thunder Bulls game. Sandy is currently touching himself while watching Markelle Fultz dominate the Houston Rockets.
I wouldn't say he's dominating them, but the Magic look really good.
They do. Although,
of course, they're playing the Rockets, and we know that they have a special set of rules that inhibit play when you're in there, when you're lined up against them. So,
yeah. So, what does Franz's 12 get translate on the Houston points exchange? Is that like three? Has he got 3 points this game?
I'll give him 2.5.
Yeah.
2.5 seems acceptable.
So obviously the 7 o'clock games, it's a little bit of a far gone conclusion with most of them. It looks here. Oh, actually, you know what? Okay. So give me a winner or a loser. Houston Rockets, Magic. Right now it's 81-69 Magic.
I'm going Orlando.
All right. Right now, Boston is up 66-63 to the New York Knicks. Who you got?
I think New York will come back.
I do too. Although Tatum's having a hell of a game right now. Pacers are up 110-95 against the Washington Wizards.
Pacers are going to roll that game. Yeah, it's not going to change. They look great.
Yeah, both teams are as advertised.
Yep.
Washington has been nothing but chuckers, and Indiana has been nothing but beautiful. Although, like, the very first play of the game, like, Halliburton just, like, ate shit on the floor. I'm like, oh my god, if he has, like, not a concussion, it's gonna be out for the whole season. I'm gonna be so pissed.
Not literally. He did not literally eat shit. How's Jordan Poole looked?
Jordan Poole has not been, like, he started off doing okay playmaking-wise, but he has been a turnover machine today. Has four turnovers to 5 assists.
You know, I'm not surprised. Can't say that I'm shocked.
What I was shocked by was Bilal Coulibaly not getting a lot of playing time. I thought for sure that they were going to start him in this season.
Yeah, about Cam Thomas to start it out for Brooklyn.
No, what's happening there? I haven't even watched that game yet. Is it all like Ben Simmons making him look pretty?
I'll look at the rest of the stats, but in the first half, Cam Thomas has 24 points.
Let's take a look here. Brooklyn, Cleveland. So Ben Simmons got 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 points on 4 shots, 1 block.
Yep.
They started, that's Cam Johnson, sorry. Cam Thomas, 24 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. Man, he's shooting pretty efficiently. They've given him 14 minutes, so they're basically running him like a starter right now. So that's cool.
He's six man. He could potentially, if he stays hot, could be six man of the year candidate by the end of the year. You never know.
I mean, stays hot. Like, I mean, he had 3 games last season that he was in fuego, and they ended up putting him on the bench for the rest of the season. So
that's right.
I'll believe it when I see it. Give me a month of it.
I just saw Jonathan Isaac lay it up and crash to the deck. He might be out for 6 months.
Dead.
No, he's back up. I've seen that so far. I don't want to hope that he's done good.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they're playing him a lot because I've only been watching for like 15 minutes here. But let me
take a look here.
He's got 5 points in 11 minutes, 2 boards and a block.
It's not a lot of minutes.
Well, he doesn't earn very many minutes when you barely play over 3-4 years. Like,
yeah, for sure.
You got to be careful not to hit him on the back too hard, teammates. Congratulating him on making that basket because you could send him to the morgue. Have you seen Unbreakable?
Yes, I have. Yeah,
that's Mr. Glass right there.
Yeah, for sure. Stay away from his legs at all costs.
Oh yeah.
So Atlanta versus Charlotte. Charlotte's up 78-73 right now.
I tell you what, I don't think there's a game I'm less interested in. But LaMelo hasn't been great. He's shooting 3-for-13. You know who else hasn't been great?
Miller. Miller time.
Yeah, he's.
Oh, damn it, Chet. Why'd you foul him? I definitely thought we were going to see a legendary chase down block there, but instead Chet just body slammed him.
Jalen Johnson. Okay, Jalen Johnson, do your thing, brother.
All right, so that's the 7 o'clock starts. Now to the 7:30. We got Brooklyn-Cleveland tied 63 apiece.
Yeah.
Who you got?
Probably Cleveland.
Toronto's up at halftime 53-51 over Minnesota. Stu, you got?
They're playing their Wolves, Toronto, right?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go Timberwolves there.
All right. Miami's up 58-47 over the Pistons.
Got to go Heat.
The New Orleans Pelicans are leading 35-33 over Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, Pelicans should win. Zion's here. He's done nothing.
Yeah. 41-39 for the Chicago Bulls, or I guess 43-39 for the Chicago Bulls over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Who you got?
I think I'm going to go Thunder.
Nice. All right. I guess we can do a little bit of our season previews. I know the season started yesterday, but who are you thinking for the Rookie of the Year race this year?
I mean, I feel like
before you answer, let me throw out a couple names. Obviously, there's Grady Dick. That's the name a lot of people are throwing around out there. They think that he's going to be great. Then there's Javon Freedom Liberty. That's another one that a lot of people are interested in. Marquise Noel. That's another one, obviously, also out of Toronto. Was there any other rookies that you were thinking of?
Nope, you named them all.
Omax Prosper, the Canadian first round pick for the Dallas Mavericks.
I don't want to hear anything about Texas or anything to do with the state.
Texas.
They've lambasted me in basketball a few years back. They lambasted me in fucking baseball this week. Like I'm over the state.
Well, your baseball team that you like is from Texas. Do you think Houston is? Well,
I get it, but at the same time, it's like the Rangers specifically being associated with the Mavericks.
So who do you have? You have it as Chet or Wemby for the Rookie of the Year award.
I feel like you're being disingenuous if you don't go Wembanyama.
It's unless he has an injury, I have a hard time imagining how he wouldn't win Rookie of the Year.
There goes Isaac. You know, they're just showing the same play from before again. So he's legitimately an extraterrestrial. I saw an image of someone that just drew a circle between the 3-point line and the paint and said, "This is what his wingspan is. He can cover this much ground in like a second." And it's absolutely fucking bonkers.
I heard that like someone's like the Spurs should sign Bol Bol and their defense should just be them holding hands.
This man has a 9. Well, what was it, a 9-foot
reach? Yeah,
that's crazy, dude.
Yeah, wingspan. Sorry. But yeah, no, like, I mean, like, if there was this there's this one highlight where fully inclined in his jump shot, 6'7" Andrew Wiggins was taking a shot, and it looked like David throwing a pebble at Goliath.
It looked like the video of the toddler going at the big man.
Yeah,
at the little.
When professional basketball players go to like a children's hospital or something like that, and they just start like owning these
just send the ball into the fifth row.
Yeah, Andrew Wiggins was a cancer kid.
He probably felt like a Make-A-Wish kid.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. He's a complete freak, man. This watching the Chicago Bulls team take shots reminds me a lot of watching the Toronto Raptors take shots.
Do you want to know what my dream is?
What?
The Magic somehow brainwashing the Rockets into trading then Sengun for Mo Wagner. so that Sengun and Franz Wagner and Paolo can just be together, because that would just be an incredible offense.
How's Goonie been?
Oh, honestly, he looks great.
I love Wendell Carter, to be honest. I wouldn't necessarily be looking to upgrade on him, that's for sure.
I don't know if I'd consider Sengun an upgrade. He's younger, but I feel like currently, I think he's got the higher ceiling long term. But right now,
I mean, if you're
the better,
if you're the Magic, I think the defense that the Wendell Carter brings is significantly more valuable than the playmaking that you get. Realistically, they have enough playmakers that can't shoot. They don't really need to add Sengun to the pile, but I can see why you would love that.
Just offensively, that would just be like
beautiful
basketball on so many levels.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm happy to hear that he's getting minutes. You know, it looked like in the preseason he was doing pretty rough, and you know, you never know with Ime what his plans were for the organization, because Sengun is certainly a lot different than Al Horford and Robert Covington, right? So,
I don't understand or trust that guy with anything and anything at all. Let me see what he's. I'm pretty sure he's a starter. He's played 28 minutes. He's got 14, 8, and 6. He's shooting 6 of 11. He's missed 2 free throws. I guess he needs to work on the free throw, but you know, that's a big man thing. He looks good. He looks better than Jabari.
That's good. Yeah, he did start tonight, so that's good. Be interesting to see how that works out. Cam Whitmore and Tari Eason haven't gotten to the floor yet. Tari Eason? How are they not playing Tari Eason? That seems ridiculous.
I think he's injured.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Oh, wow. If you look at Cam Whitmore on Sleeper app, he's got one of those funny photos.
The one where the camera's not centered properly.
Just take a look.
Yeah, it's just all forehead.
Bro, what is it with the Rockets and these guys, man? Jock Landale's just his head, like
All right. Well, so we agree that it's going to definitely be Wimby for Rookie of the Year. So what are you thinking here for what did you think was the signing of the offseason? Which is the signing that you were the happiest to see how it plays out?
All the signings that the Suns made. Obviously.
Anyone in particular?
Yuta Watanabe is going to be incredible. Just spacing the floor and giving Booker and Durant space in the middle to operate and do their thing, especially when they get Bill back, it's going to be. Even last night, like
I felt like he was like a de facto defensive center for them off the bench, the way they were playing him.
I feel like they were running Eubanks that way more so than him.
Yeah,
like, Eubanks was in there. I will tell you, I haven't watched much Nurkic because God knows I couldn't stand watching Portland play because it's just Dame and them guys.
Yeah,
for several years, but Nurkic, he's getting them boards. He's a beast. What happened?
Oh, Jalen Williams almost fucking destroyed Vucevic, but then got Vooch fouled him and blew it up. But man, it wasn't a clean foul, but it wasn't like he did anything dirty to him. He just hit that. He hit a lot of arm, but man, the pass from Giddy was so sweet, and oh, he was right in there. Oh, that's good. That was a good play. Good play. Oh, I thought we were going to see something spectacular there. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. I lost my train of thought. I'm just going to be real. I'm happy that basketball's back. This is going to be the most excited I've been for a Suns basketball season, probably in my life. It trumps the year that they went to the finals, and it trumps the year after, just in terms of the star power they've got. He just dead-ass shoved him to the floor. That's funny. Come on, Mo.
So, signing of the offseason, I thought, was clearly Jalen McDaniels. Toronto Raptors picked him up on the biannual exception, $5 million a season. It's not bad for an all-defensive player. what do you think?
Jaden McDaniels?
Jalen.
Okay, I was going to say, because Jaden McDaniels re-signed with the Wolves just a few days ago.
Yeah, no, his brother.
I see.
His brother, who was on the Hornets, and they got traded in the Matisse Thybulle trade to the 76ers, and the 76ers didn't re-sign him in the offseason, so he went to the Raptors.
I haven't been watching much from Van Vliet in this game. I've kind of just been watching Franz terrorizing everybody, because
when I tuned in, he apparently hit a bunch of threes. So
he's being real aggressive on the offensive end. He's attacking the basket. So but it is an 18-point game, so this is a laugh or it's over.
Yeah.
Well, the Magic look, at least compared to the team they're playing, to be two or three steps above.
You think that's a laugh, or do you see the Indiana-Washington match?
Again, they're like four or five steps above.
Yeah, for sure.
One of them we're predicting to be a cellar dweller, and the other we're thinking potentially home court.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, I have them ranked pretty high. Obviously, we can get into our rankings in a little bit here. Actually, why don't you tell me, who do you have from 15 to 11 in the East right now?
Oh man, you're gonna put me on the spot with this. I'll probably end up naming guys twice like I always do because I won't remember what I said. I think the Wizards. Do I put the Wizards at the bottom here? Hold up. That's fine. Let's see. I'm just going to pull up the...
So let me give you a couple names. Let me go through my bottom five first, and then you can go through yours. So at 15th, I have the Detroit Pistons.
Think the Pistons are last?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I do. I just don't think that the Pistons are in a very serious place. Also, like, half of their roster is already injured this season.
Huh.
So that's, you know, positive. They just don't have a lot of shooting, and they have a lot of redundancy in different positions. I just don't think that they're ready to compete.
I got to tell you, this is my first year running League Pass, and every single time it goes to ads, it freezes.
Are you you're doing it on your cell phone, right?
I'm doing it on my PlayStation 5.
Oh, your PlayStation 5? Okay.
I'm watching it on the TV.
Yeah, because the cell phone app is the cell phone app runs probably the best of all their apps. But yeah, no. There's always a problem with the NBA League Pass app, to be honest. Yeah,
I wanted to watch it on the TV, which is the whole reason I even did it. Normally, I stream this shit like a gremlin on the phone, and I'm like, I want to watch it on the TV because this is a big year for the Suns. I might as well do it.
Yeah,
and, absolutely. I went on and did it, and every single time it goes to commercial break, it just fucking shits the bed. All right, so you got the Pistons last.
Yep, 14th. I've got our Charlotte Hornets. The Charlotte Hornets.
I don't claim them.
Yeah,
I don't claim them.
The show's Charlotte Hornets, who you also may think of as the New Orleans Pelicans.
Dude, that was a one-time thing.
Oh, Chet with the pull-up three.
Well, how's he looked so far? I need to look.
Let me take a look.
I just pull up Sleeper and take a look at the hair.
That's what I'm doing too.
It's a handy fucking app, man.
Although Chat. The new update makes it hard to find games.
14 minutes, 7 points, 3 boards, 2 assists. You figure a guy that tall gets more boards than that, but it's still.
It's not even halftime yet.
So.
So after the Charlotte Hornets, Orlando Magic. Orlando's not ready to compete yet.
You have the Wizards above the Magic.
Yeah.
You're a terrorist, bro.
After that, I have the Brooklyn Nets.
Wow. Do you have the Wizards up there, huh?
And in the 11th position, I have the Chicago Bulls.
You have the Wizards over the Bulls?
I have the Wizards in the play-in, clearly.
You're tripping on some shit, dude.
Yeah, I mean, like if you look at the roster, the roster's full of guys.
Guys that do what, exactly?
Score points.
Okay, so but they can't all score points at once because there's only one ball. And and none of them are really get-your-own-shot guys.
Buddy, I want you to know, obviously the Indiana Pacers have a very good offense. And I think that the Indiana Pacers are a much better team than the Washington Wizards. The Indiana Pacers have scored 132 points. The Washington Wizards have scored 110 points. They're 5 minutes and 40 seconds left in the game. There's a very good chance that the Washington Wizards will have scored 125 points in a blowout loss.
Maybe the Pacers' defense is just ass.
Like the thing is I think they're going to score no matter what happens, and they're gonna win, you know, probably about 35-40 games by just scoring a shit ton of points. You know, like, I mean, they're not gonna make the playoffs, they're not gonna do any damage in the playoffs. I just don't think that they're as bad as everyone makes them out to be. It's like they traded Bradley Beal, who barely plays basketball. And then they moved on from Kristaps Porzingis, but they brought in actual NBA players to replace them in Tyus Jones and Jordan Poole. And to be completely honest with you, I think if you give Jordan Poole the kinds of touches and kinds of backing that they were giving Bradley Beal, I think Jordan Poole is a better player.
Okay. Okay.
I am high on the Wizards. What are your bottom five in the East?
Jordan Poole is an expensive backpack for Kuzma.
Isn't he outscoring Kuzma?
He too damn well might be.
that would be the Kyle Kuzma way. His backpack carries him. Who are your bottom five in the East?
I have the Hornets at the bottom.
The Hornets at the bottom? That makes sense.
The Hornets at the bottom. And then I think I'm going to go... I think you sold me on Detroit. And then we're going to go Washington.
Yeah.
And then we'll go...
Too bad I didn't sell you on Washington. Okay, I'm going over to this Atlanta-Charlotte game.
Then we're going to go Brooklyn.
They're within 1 point with 4.5 minutes left. This is unlikely. Brooklyn, that's your 12th position?
Wizards.
You said Charlotte, Detroit, Wizards, Brooklyn. So yeah. You got one more.
Probably Orlando.
Orlando. Okay. All right. It's a pretty decent. It's a pretty respectable list. So what do you think, rookie? Sorry, not rookie of the year. What are you thinking for most improved player? Who's the guy who you think, based off of what you saw preseason, or what you think, what you're thinking about in the how the like how their season's going to be progressing? Who do you think is going to get most improved?
Well, tonight might not be an indication of it, but Mikal Bridges definitely has a chance at it.
Yeah, I mean, the beginning of last season, or at the end of last season, I was like, Mikal Bridges could definitely get it. Now I'm like thinking to myself, it looks like after the offseason, they have a lot of touches that they're going to be giving to... A lot of touches that they're going to be giving to Ben Simmons. It looks like a lot more than initially expected.
A lot more obviously, than he should get.
Obviously, Cam Thompson is going to dominate the entire team, anyways. Offensively, I think Mikal Bridges isn't going to get the kind of touches that he was getting at the end of last season that'll justify him being a runaway with it. I could be wrong about that, though. That said, I think someone who's going to see a significant increase in his touches and role is Jordan Poole. And I think Jordan Poole is going to be poised that after the bad season he had last season. I think there's a potential he's like an outside all-star candidate this year.
Absolutely not.
Man, all right, we'll see. We'll check in a couple months.
Are the fans still voting for the all-star?
Yeah, they are.
Fans are not going to like him because the fans are all Warrior fans.
Yeah, but there's also the coaches' picks as well, right? So like,
I don't think your coach is going to pick Jordan.
We'll see where he's at the come February. But I anticipate him to have a much better season. If you look at Jordan Poole, whenever Curry was out injured. Jordan Poole always had really good stat lines, and the reason why is because he did better when he was given when he was able to eat. Yep. So I think
he had structure and a system in place around him, and now he's just in the Wild West.
I think you're giving Wes Unseld Jr. a little bit of an underrated position as a coach.
I feel like he's unproven. There's nothing really to underrate him on. He hasn't done anything.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, give him a chance to build the structure. Let's see what happens. Okay. Can't just say he's not going to have it. You don't know what's well, at. You don't know him.
Until we've seen it, there's not one now, is there? The Warriors had a goddamn dynasty. They've had the structure. They've had the same core. They've had the same coach. They've had the same system. So it was structured. It was organized. Everyone had a role. Everyone had a place. And he's now in a place where he's just going to have free reign to do whatever the fuck he wants, pretty much. That could also be bad for him. He could end up shooting himself out of any running for any sort of awards or anything.
It could go either way. I just think that a lot of people are overlooking him because of reputation. Another
I
name.
I don't really consider it because I think the Wizards are going to be so bad that it doesn't really matter.
Another name that I think is a name to watch on the most improved list will probably be Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, I think that's much more in line with traditional thinking here because he's going to be unquestionably the guy there.
Yeah, for sure. He's going to have the entire offense to himself. Plus, obviously, you know, he's coming off of a pretty bad year. So it'll be interesting to see how that comes across. And then my last one would be Scotty Barnes. Once again, complete different role change. It looks like the offense is going to be running through him more, so he should have more usage, and also an improvement over a poor showing last season. I think it gives him a leg up in that conversation as well.
Brother.
Where are you on the Eastern Conference from spots 10 to 6? I'll go first since give you time to think about it.
Sure.
So 10, my first play-in position, I'm going Washington Wizards. I've already discussed why I was going to go with them. Number 9 is going to piss off a lot of people. I'm going with the Miami Heat. Miami got a lot worse during the offseason. I think it's pretty pretty impossible to argue otherwise. And they were a seventh place team last season when they were better. So I don't, with the East getting better in general, with like your Magic, your Indiana Pacers going to be picking up more wins, I can't see them. I can't see them improving their record at the very least.
Kath, if you're listening, he doesn't speak for everyone here. He just speaks for himself.
Number 8, I have the Atlanta Hawks. Although watching this game right now, may have to change that. Charlotte,
not great.
Charlotte Hornets are making the Atlanta Hawks look like I made a mistake. Number 7, got the Toronto Raptors. Toronto Raptors obviously have a very talented roster, which is why everybody wants them to trade it. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, new coach seems to be implementing a system of cooperation. And so far tonight, you know, some old habits seem to be sinking in again. But they have been able to compensate for their poor offensive performance in the half court by getting out on the run and playing really fast. And it's really mainlined by their new point guard signing, Dennis Schroeder. So it'll be interesting to see how that continues to progress. And then
I almost picked him up in that.
I was tempted to, because I'm just like, I don't know if you saw that one preseason where he played like 12 minutes and got 10 assists. I'm like, this guy, there's something there.
He's always been consistent. Well, except for that one year. He's always been pretty good. I've always liked Schroeder. When he gets minutes, he produces.
That Boston year was just really his downturn, but yeah.
Yeah.
And then in sixth place, just outside the play, the team that first team out of the play-in, Indiana Pacers. Oh. Obviously, I love their additions of Obi Toppin and Bruce Brown. I love Nembhard. I love Mathurin. I love Haliburton. I love Turner. I love that roster. I think there's probably 10 guys on that roster I could probably name that I want on any team that I was building. So it's a really good team. Expect them to put it together this year behind a good coach.
Remind me who their coach is?
Rick Carlisle.
Oh, yeah. He's pretty good.
Yeah, former coach of your favorite team.
Fuck that shit. Fuck you. He won a championship with one of my favorite players ever.
The Detroit Pistons.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Oh, yeah, yeah. who do you have from 10 to 6?
I think 10, we're going to go Toronto.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
I think 9, we're going to go Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I think 8, we're going to go Atlanta. I think 7, we're going to go Cleveland. I think 6, we're going to go
Cleveland.
I think Jeez. 6, we're going to go Let's go Indiana.
You're not gonna believe what like our Cleveland is gonna be a very different answer. I need you to explain. Cleveland.
I'm just not a believer.
Play-in.
You have the Heat in the play-in, and they've been to the finals.
But the Heat were in the play-in last year, and they got worse.
Yeah, sad.
The Cleveland Cavaliers had the second best net rating in the league and finished third in the East last year.
Hey, man, I don't know what to tell you.
And they got
this better. My list, and I'm sticking to it.
Man, that's that one came out of nowhere. All right, I'm gonna go with my top five here. So I've got Philly as the fifth.
Okay.
Obviously, like they have Embiid, they have Nick Nurse. It doesn't really matter what happens with James Harden.
I'm just going to save time here and say that Philadelphia is next for me as well.
Then I have four, the New York Knicks. I like the New York Knicks team, top to bottom, very similar to Indiana Pacers. Mm-hmm. I think that their coach is also a lot better than a lot of people give them credit for. Milwaukee Bucks is number three. Obviously, I really do like the additions of Dame and Giannis, but I think Milwaukee's probably – they're going to be adjusting to a new system under a new coach, Adrian Griffin. Mm-hmm. And also, on top of that, they have an older roster. So I imagine that they're going to play a lot more players who may not necessarily be that great, because if you look at the depth of the Milwaukee Bucks roster, it's not great. So I don't think that they're going to be – they're going to be good. They're just not going to be as dominant. And I don't think winning the East is going to be very important to them as a team. Number two, Boston Celtics. I like the Boston Celtics top to bottom. They have a very good roster. I think that they're not as deep as they were last year. I also think that they're going to have a little bit of an adjustment period to their new pieces. Although, and you can see that tonight with them being down by two already, still to the Knicks with 5 minutes to go. That said, I still think that they're going to. I still think that they're like an Eastern Finals like contender. I think that they could very well win the whole thing. It's just that the regular season once again is probably not going to be their priority for winning. And then my number one team in the East is the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, I figured you'd have them there when you said what you said a bit ago. All right. Yeah, I don't think so.
Obviously, they had the best defense in the East last season. Yeah. And the second best offense in the East last season. They added two shooting wings in Strus and George Niang, which ideally will help fill that one spot in their rotation right now that seems to be plaguing them. Obviously, you wish they had a little bit more depth or better coaching at the very least, but I still think in the regular season, the team is going to be a pretty well-oiled machine. Donovan Mitchell tends to play on well-oiled machines in the regular season. So we'll see how it goes, but I'm pretty sure it'll be a pretty good year for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Starting out the year, missing their center.
It's okay. They have like four.
All right, well, number four for me.
Five. Oh, you already said Philly. Never mind.
So number four for me. I gotta pull my thing back up here. Is the Boston Celtics. Number three, the Miami Heat.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the New York Knicks. And number one, the Bucks.
I mean, it's hard to imagine the Bucks losing a single game running a Giannis Dame Lillard pick and roll.
It depends on if Giannis wants to run the roll.
I guess.
He likes having the ball in his hand.
Yeah, it's true. So that's awesome.
You got nothing to say after all of that shock about the Cavs being in the five for me, about me having
the Miami Heat pick is obviously not the wrong. Heat.
The Knicks, bro. The Knicks.
I mean, I had the Knicks number four. I don't think there's gonna be a lot of games separating those teams.
I think the Knicks have a legitimate chance at the Knicks.
A lot of people talk about how competitive the West is going to be because, like, you look at the West from top to bottom, you're like, who's finishing last?
Right? By the way, here, our Orlando Magic are now up 30 points.
Nice. And they didn't go and spend like a bajillion dollars in the offseason acquiring talent. But you like you look at the like outside of the Detroit Pistons and Charlotte Hornets, there isn't a legitimately bad roster in the East, right? So that, what that tells me is we're going to see another tightly contested conference again, I think. So that means that a lot of teams could end up finishing first, especially given the fact that the two powers in the conference in Milwaukee and Boston decided to make such significant changes to their organization. So yeah, looking here, six man predictions. Any thoughts on who you have for six man of the year?
Oh God. I said someone earlier and I've already forgot who I said because I've just been so invested in this Magic game.
Yeah, it was Cam Thompson, I believe, is what you said.
Oh yeah, that was mostly a joke. I don't think that's real. I certainly don't think he's gonna get the minutes to sustain that. He's probably not gonna be that consistent anyway. Honestly, I have no idea who could be sixth man of the year.
Yeah.
I'd want to get a few,
well, let's think
weeks in and get some feel of how rotations are going to play out to see.
Let me go through the league real quick and throw out some names and see if they're they intrigue you at all. I guess Cleveland, you could would see Strus or Niang in that.
Absolutely not.
Boston, you have Pritchard, possibly Horford,
the $134 million man.
No, he's just 34. 34 over 4.
Peyton Pritchard didn't make like north of 100 million?
No, he did not. It would have been great if he did.
I thought, no, it would have been embarrassing if he did.
Like, it would have been ridiculous.
It might have been great for you.
It would have been ridiculous if they're like, yeah, actually, we can't re-sign Tatum because we just spent, we just gave Peyton Pritchard the max.
Franz Wagner, 17 points.
Let's see. Milwaukee, the Malik Beasley. The New York Knicks, you have Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo as being possible six men. Philly, Shake Milton.
I thought he left.
Shake Milton didn't leave. DeAnthony Melton is the one I'm thinking of. DeAnthony Melton. Indiana Pacers, you could probably see Bruce Brown. You could see Nemhard. There's a lot of players on that roster in Indiana. Toronto, Gary Trent Jr. Could be a big one for them. The Atlanta Hawks. I don't even know who's on the Hawks anymore. AJ Griffin. The Miami Heat. You could have Jaime Jaquez Jr. No. Can I interest you in some Orlando Brown? No. Washington Wizards, you have Delonte Wright.
You were going to say Delonte West for a second.
I almost did. I had to stop myself. That's why I said it the second time. I was like, Delonte, what? Nope, that's not who I wanted to say. Chicago Bulls, they have Kobe White. Brooklyn Nets, Cam Thompson. The Orlando Magic, you know, Cole Anthony, Jalen Suggs.
Cole Anthony was pretty good tonight. 20.8 boards.
Detroit Pistons, Wiseman.
Oh my fucking God, no. I can't believe he's actually in the rotation.
I mean, it's just so sad. It's such a pathetic team. Pelicans. I'm not sure who we can get off the Pelicans right now. I don't have it in front of me.
They're a bit of a cluster.
Phoenix Suns, you got yourself some Grayson Allen. I just don't like him.
It's a person.
Drew Eubanks. Utah Watanabe. Eric Gordon.
Yeah, Eric, not Aaron.
Denver, you got Christian Braun. That's who my pick is, by the way.
You think he's going to be the sixth man?
I think so.
He's here too. You think he's jumping that many people in line?
I think he's got a lot on his plate, but I think like I'm thinking Christian Braun, I'm thinking Norm Powell, I'm thinking Gary Trent Jr. probably would be my picks right now. Charlotte gets the win, 116-110 over the Atlanta Hawks. All right, let's see. What's the next game I want to look into here? Do I want to watch Cleveland-Brooklyn?
Probably not. That sounds unpleasant.
New Orleans Pelicans and Memphis. San Antonio is going to be starting pretty soon.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
The thing I don't like about League Pass is that's blacked out.
Oh, okay. Well,
I wanted to watch Freakazoid get down with it.
Let's see if it's on this one here, because I pay for that streaming service too. So,
yeah, I don't pay for ESPN.
Oh, yep, there it is.
It's time for ET.
Do you see it?
I saw the next.
Yeah, you do. All right. So this game is going to finish up, and then I think they're going to go to the other one, is my impression.
Did you do any other impressions?
Yes. And almost none of them are racist.
But are any of them funny?
It depends. Depends how drunk or high you are when I'm doing them.
That's fair. Know your audience.
All right. 15-11 on the West.
All right. I'm going to go first this time here.
You got it? All right.
Yeah. Number 15. The Dallas. I wish. The Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah.
Could it be anybody else?
I mean, here's the thing with the Portland Trailblazers. Similar to the Washington Wizards, I think people are sleeping on that roster. But I do agree that they're probably the worst in the West. I if you asked me before the preseason, I would not have had them worst in the West.
Well, after the preseason,
the team that I had worst in the West jumped significantly.
A familiar friend is here, and that's number 14, the Houston Rockets.
Oh, interesting. I had them in 13, so I'm not that far off from you.
I think that much of a difference is made that the Spurs are going to go from 15 to 13. Just from Wembanyama.
Interesting.
I think he single-handedly is going to win them a few games.
Yeah, no, I mean, I 100% agree with you. And, we're going to get into this when we talk about the Defensive Player of the Year. But, just watching the preseason, and I watched, multiple drives where people are running towards the basket and then they see Wembanyama's there and they turned around with the basketball and walked in the opposite direction towards their own hoop. Right? Because the concept of even trying to score near him. And I'm just I don't know how offenses are going to function against the San Antonio Spurs. Just from the sheer presence of him on the court. I've never seen it before in my life. I've seen Anthony Davis. I saw the Golden State Warriors kind of turn into a mid-range team instead of driving towards the paint and stuff like that during the playoffs last season when Anthony Davis was on his game.
Yeah.
But this is completely different. Anthony Davis can't also take away the three-point shot. It's crazy. And I don't know if there's ever going to be a player while Wembanyama is a professional basketball player in the NBA. I don't know if there's ever going to be another player other than Wembanyama that will win the Defensive Player of the Year. I just can't imagine it. I think he's going to win it as a rookie.
I think the chances are very high. With the established names, I think he's so... And I think the perfect word for him is an anomaly.
Yeah,
it's just something that no one in this country has seen before.
Well, it's crazy because I'm watching him and I'm like, man, I've seen this game before. I've seen this game before. And you know who I've seen it on? Chris Boucher. But Chris Boucher's he's 6'10 with a 7'8 wingspan. Add a foot and a half to his wingspan and add 7 inches to his height. And then you get Victor Wembanyama and all of a sudden Chris Boucher becomes the greatest player I've ever seen personally.
Boucher's been a pretty steady fantasy
guy. He's a good player. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's not a player who I would say defines a franchise or could possibly define a league. But, like, it's just crazy. It's absolutely crazy how good he is from top to bottom. I can't, like I said, I don't know if I'm caught in the moment. Like, obviously, I only watch preseason games, so it's a bit ridiculous to make a declaration. Like, I don't think anybody's ever going to score in the NBA again now that Victor Wembanyama's in the league. But, like, I just can't.
That'd be pretty funny. the Spurs are just out here winning games 48-13. we're going back in time to that. To the 1940s or something.
No one's ever scoring again. That means even teams that aren't playing him, they're like, "Oh my god, is he over looking over my shoulder?" Like, I can't.
I just imagine, like you hear him coming down from behind for like a chase down, and it sounds like a jet just descending on you. Here he just fucking comes. It's like a UFO.
It's fucking crazy. Space. Like, so yeah, like, so you have the San Antonio Spurs at 13. Who do you have for 12?
Oh man. I think it's gonna be the Utah Jazz.
Utah Jazz, yeah.
Yeah. As much as I want to like them.
I love them. I love them, and I love Lauri Markkanen, but like, I have them 14th.
They just don't have enough guys.
Between the West being as deep as they are, and the fact that their primary offensive organizer is Chris Dunn, who was did well last season, but I mean, was out of the league for a reason, right? Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Who do you have as 11?
Oh, this is tricky because now we're getting to actual teams that some people like think have a shot here.
I gotta be honest with you, like, of the 15 of the four teams that you mentioned, I think that there's a world where each of those teams could make the play in.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go, God, I think I'm going to go Memphis.
Sorry, what did you say?
I think I'm going to go the Grizzlies.
Yeah, no, I mean, with the injury to, what's his name?
John Morant's brain.
No, it's not even that. Like, obviously, they're without John Morant for 26 games. They also, they made the trade for Marcus Smart that moved on from Tyus Jones, who was their backup point guard. Then they also decided not to re-sign Dylan Brooks. And the argument is that Marcus Smart can do the job of Tyus Jones, and he can do the job of Dylan Brooks and be better at both of those jobs. And okay, maybe that's the case. But then they also lose Steven Adams for the season. They already were without Brandon Clark, their backup center. So is Marcus Smart's acquisition also supposed to be the one that's grabbing all the rebounds as well? Like, what exactly is Marcus Smart's role going to be for this team? Is he just going to be basically the Band-Aid that fixes everything? I don't think this team is nearly as good. I don't think this team is... The Memphis Grizzlies have constantly been good at playing against teams without John Morant, and I don't think this team is the same team that was able to do that. And as a result, they're going to be without John Morant for the first half of the season. And the West is not a league right now. The West is not a conference right now where you can sacrifice a quarter of the season and expect to be a playoff team.
And they're going to be in too deep a hole to climb out of.
I agree. And like, that's assuming that John Morant comes back fully formed. Like, I mean, he's gonna be a player who didn't really get to play in the preseason. Like, he was allowed to be at the training camp. He's allowed to practice during it, but like, the game speed's not gonna be there for a little while. Like, you can't expect him to be coming out playing all-star form right away.
Right.
They have decent players. Like, obviously, Jaren Jackson Jr. Obviously, they have Desmond Bane, but I just don't see. I don't see the requisite pieces for them to be competitive in the West, And the West is has a lot of teams that are competitive. So, yeah, I agree with that rating. I have them at 11th as well. Like I mentioned before, I had San Antonio as 12. I put Houston 13, Utah is 14, and then the Portland Trailblazers I have sitting at the 15th spot in the league.
So we were pretty similar there.
Yeah, very similar. My Utah was a little bit lower. My Spurs were a little bit higher. We're pretty much on point with the Rockets and the Trailblazers, and Memphis Grizzlies were agreed as well. So where are you going with your next five? So between the 10th and the 6th position.
Number 10, the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I don't have them that low, but like I have them as a play-in team just like you do. That's for sure. You don't believe in the renaissance they had in the second half of the season?
I don't believe in LeBron James and Anthony Davis's ability to play 82 games.
Yeah, I mean, like they said that basically they're going to be playing LeBron James 30 minutes a game this season.
Yeah, I'll believe that when I see it. You'll play him 30 minutes a game, and after two months of it, he will be shut down for a month.
Yeah, they were taking him out every 4 minutes, like against the Golden State Warriors last night. So, I mean, it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see if they maintain that once the pressure's on
the Nuggets.
The Nuggets, you're right. Sorry, my mistake. But yeah, like
can we let's just dwell on it for a second here, since we brought up the Lakers and the Nuggets here. They all that talk about it being a statement game. Oh, and yeah. They did all that talking after they got in the playoffs, and they got ran off the court.
Yeah, they at the end of the game, the starters weren't playing. So, that's the Lakers we all know and love.
I feel like this is they had to teach them for all the talking. If you're a gambling man, you fade Lakers, baby. You fade them. You fade them and you trust them.
I mean, especially given how they ended last season, they're primed to be overrated, right? And like they're an okay team. It's just like, you know, I feel like people think, you know, I like Austin Reeves. I think he's a very good player.
But he's not elite.
People are making him out to be like a member of a big three, right? And like, I don't think like if for whatever reason Anthony Davis or LeBron got injured, I don't think you're looking at Austin Reeves and thinking to yourself, that guy is going to take us to the finals. Like, that guy's going to help take us to the finals.
It's not really fair to him to put that kind of pressure on him. He's young.
Yeah, I mean, like he's good. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, he's a very good player.
I just learned that JaVale McGee, three-time NBA champion,
King,
is a Sacramento King. I love that.
We're gonna have to play that game at some point in time.
I love that signing for them. Oh wow, he shores up so many of the defensive qualms that they have with Sabonis.
Yeah, does he though? Because he's not really that mobile anymore.
Just hold him down low, bro.
I got to be honest with you. I don't know if he's better than Trey Lyles anymore.
I mean, he's a name.
He's definitely a name. He's got championships.
He's got rings.
But, you know, his athleticism seems to be almost entirely gone. There's a reason why he got cut from everywhere he's been lately.
JaVale McGee. He's got rings. He's the guy in the league you go to now. Yeah, but he's got rings, though.
Yeah, he's like Dwight Howard.
That's right. I love it. That's so great. I had the Lakers. Was that 10 or 9?
Yeah, you had them at 10.
All right, I think number 9 is probably Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm. That's where I have them as well. I like them, and like I want to be a person who's like, I think the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to jump into the top 8, top 6, but like
next year.
They didn't do anything in the offseason, right? Like, I mean, yeah. I get that. Like, I mean, they I got get that. Chet. They added Chet. That, you know, that's a great asset. He seems to be somebody who can address a hole that they had in their roster before.
He's like baby alien.
But yeah, like I feel like Oklahoma City doesn't even believe that they're going to be contending this year. You know what I mean?
But again, you get one more year on LeBron and Anthony Davis. You get one more year on the Warriors. You get one more year on Durant. You get one more year on the Clippers.
Yeah.
Someone's going to move down. Someone's going to move up. Next year's their year to make that leap.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think that, like, I think they have the core pieces there to make a special team. I think that they I think that the team also needs to start making some moves to consolidate some of their assets to turn them into some better players. Just because, like, until I see them do that, I don't think that I believe they believe.
Number 8 is the Dallas Mavericks.
Interesting, interesting. That's, they had a pretty good offseason, so I can see them. Yeah. I can see them making making that kind of jump for sure. And number 7.
I think it's the Clippers.
That's not an unfair position. So you have them in the play-in this dropping into the play-in this year. Do you think you're going to see a healthy season from Kawhi and Paul George? And let me define a healthy season as being 55 games or more.
Kawhi's talking like he's healthy.
He also just had another knee surgery, though.
Yeah. He's always just a little bit removed from another surgery, isn't he, at this point in his career? He's always just removed from a surgery not that long ago.
I think my biggest problem with the Clippers roster is I don't know if they have the offensive playmaking skills to really make a deep run. Like they're relying a lot on Terrence Mann.
He's going to be, when his career is all said and done, Kawhi, more so than George for sure. One of those what could have been, what should have been guys when it comes to his health. I just want to know,
is he a Hall of Famer?
Differently. Oh, he's a Hall of Famer for sure. But I just want to know how differently his career pans out if he doesn't get
Zaza
Pachulia under him in that playoff game. It derailed everything. It changed it all. He's never been 100% right since that injury. And he never had the injury issues before it.
Yep. No, for
that
sure.
That changed everything.
It did. Created the knee tendonitis.
Just imagine how differently it could have been. Because he's such a special talent when he's healthy.
Yeah.
And when I say special, I mean like potential, like to be top 10.
I mean,
terms of scoring and defensive together as a whole, as one guy, he's amazing.
That last playoff, playoffs where the Nuggets had their run, like that, the Suns Clippers, that first game when Kawhi was healthy, I feel like if that was there was a healthy Kawhi, there is a good chance that Kawhi would have won that series by himself. Maybe not in five.
Sure. Yeah.
Maybe not in five, but he definitely won that first game. And the talent that was on the court at that period of time and the talent that was on the Clippers at that period of time, he had no business being in that series.
And you get to the next round and Paul George comes back. You never know what happens.
Yeah. It could have been a completely different playoff.
Might be talking about Nuggets. You got to prove it.
Yeah, but I that said, like, I don't ever think that dream is going to come true.
No, and it's a shame. It's just a shame.
Yeah. So who you have as 6th?
I'm going to say Golden State.
Yeah. So we have the same 5 teams, but in a different order here. So I go...
This is exactly what we did with the first 5.
So I got Dallas Mavericks finishing 10th.
Okay.
I like their team. I like what they did this offseason. I like their draft picks. I'm not 100% sold on Derek Lively as a starting center, but I think there's a lot of potential there. What I don't believe in is Kyrie Irving.
I'm there with you, but I think Luka makes up a lot of. If he's out or if he's not, I think Luka makes up for it because Luka's that kind of guy offensively. I mean,
he was there last year, and they ended up bottoming out. And you can say, yeah, they were in 5th place for half the season, but that's not where they finish.
Intentionally tank the last like week and a half.
Yeah, the last week and a half because they were in 10th place, right? So I think that I think the West is really competitive, and they're relying on some pretty unreliable players. Oklahoma City Thunder, I also had in 9th place, similar to you. LA Lakers, I have in 8th, so I have them in the play-in just a little bit higher than you. The Clippers, I have in 7th, and the Golden State Warriors, I have in 6th. So those ones I matched.
That's fair.
I think the Golden State Warriors, once again, very similar to last season. They've got they're going to be running in different different rotation on a daily basis. You know, they're going to have injury problems.
JaVale McGee, old man, still out here catching lobs. Malik Monk just tossed it right up to him. He just yam-bagged a guy.
So who are your top five in the West?
Number five is going to be... I'm struggling a little bit here, but I think I'm going to go Minnesota.
Minnesota?
Okay. I'm going to go Minnesota.
Yeah. That's a pretty big jump for Minnesota. I'm right there with you. I have them at number five. So, I'm not sure what they're going to do. Like with the Jaden McDaniels signing, they're pretty, and the Anthony Edwards signing this offseason, they're pretty much.
They're tied down to the guys they've got.
Yeah, they're pretty much tied to the people they got. They have to trade either Gobert or Karl Anthony Towns before the end of the season. Otherwise, they get stuck with a position in the position where they can't. Wow, the audio on that is terrible. I'm just going to go ahead and mute that.
That's fine.
I love watching the San Antonio Spurs, and all I can see is Sochan dominating the ball.
As expected.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like the whole game's completely different. Sochan's playing. They have to trade Gobert or Karl Anthony Towns. Otherwise, they won't be able to aggregate multiple contracts to turn into players. They have to hit that 10% threshold instead of the 25% threshold. They won't be able to dump the salary they need to dump to be good.
If you trade all those picks to acquire Gobert, and you know Towns isn't going to defensively give you what he can, you've already got the ability to get baskets with Anthony Edwards. I feel like the smart move is to trade Towns, which is strange to say, but...
I don't think that Gobert is the same player anymore.
Probably not.
Ooh.
But I don't think Towns is either, to be fair.
Pull up three for Wemby, planked it. I think Towns has shown this summer that he's still got some talent there. I think Gobert had international basketball, which he's always dominated, and was a wallflower for France. It's just, like, he's not the same player anymore. I think he's done. I think he's cooked. I think he's done like chicken dinner. I used to be a big fan of Gobert. I always thought that he never got a fair shake, but I think it's over for him, to be honest.
Are you saying the tower is stifled?
I think the tower is stifled. That said, I think Anthony Edwards is a great player. I like Jaden McDaniels. I like what their team looked like after Mike Conley joined it. I think the Minnesota Timberwolves are a very good team. I'm glad that they lost their the opening of the season to the Toronto Raptors. So I agree with you. Number five, Minnesota Timberwolves. Who you got at number four?
I'm going to go New Orleans.
Interesting, interesting. We have some deviation here.
Here's the thing with New Orleans.
Yep.
I like New Orleans. I want to put New Orleans top three. I'd like to put New Orleans number two. But I can't trust Zion Williamson to stay healthy.
But he took cardio very seriously this summer for the first time ever.
Yeah, I prove it, brother. Do it. Let's see you do it.
He had four steals in his first preseason game.
I'm so happy for the guy. Prove it, brother. Do it. Let's see you do it.
All right.
Look,
so
I need to see it. I just can't do it. I need to see it. Right, and so I know that you've got them number one or number two or whatever. just I need to say it. Do it. That's all.
So you have the Pelicans number four. Who do you have number three?
I got Sacramento third.
Yeah. I mean, they returned to third. You're really believing in the addition of JaVale McGee, huh?
I had them third last year, too, I'm pretty sure, at the end of the year.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's where they finished, so.
I really like the Kings.
I do, too.
I think more so than it being an addition to JaVale, I think it's another year in the system, another year with these guys, and more familiarity with one another. Just there's no reason to expect them to take a drop. But I think the talent acquisitions by the Suns and the Nuggets, just being as talented as they are, inhibits them from going higher.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, if you look at the players whose stock rose a ton during the offseason, like during summer league and everything like that, Keegan Murray is a player I think that we're going to see a lot more of, and I expect him to be pretty dominant. Wemby got a foul taking Damian Jones. Jones Jr. What's the guy's first name? I can't think of it right now.
Miami? Damon?
Is it Damian Jones Jr.?
I don't know, man.
He was with the Miami Heat, won the dunk contest. Anyways. He ended up eating Wemby's chest and getting to the free throw line. The Sacramento Kings, I can definitely see them progressing, even though they didn't add a lot to the roster. I can see internal growth with players like Keegan Murray for sure. So who do you have number two?
I have the Phoenix Suns number two.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good play. That's a pretty good pick. It's hard to argue. I think top to bottom, they have one of the most intriguing rosters in the league. And it would be impossible to say they aren't a championship contender, that's for sure.
I think they are going to have a historically great offense.
Catch and shoot three at the top of the arc for Wemby. Yeah, I think that you're probably right. Them and the Washington Wizards are probably going to be right up there with the best offenses in the league.
I think they're going to have a historically great offense. I think that defensively they're going to be middle of the road. I think... I think that they need to just make sure they keep Durant healthy. I think Booker will be fine. Beal and Durant, that's another matter. If they're all healthy come playoff time, I think they win everything. But yeah. I think they're going to do some managing of minutes when it comes to those two, which means I think the Nuggets are going to be number one.
Yeah, I mean, like I feel like they have to manage minutes from all three of their top players, right? So I guess even with Nurkic, maybe four, because they have a lot of players on that roster. But they have enough guys
to make it work.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think I really like the depth on their roster, which is weird because I think they had three players on it before at the beginning of the offseason. So it's hard to argue with how well they did in the offseason, for sure. So number one, you have the Denver Nuggets.
I do.
Yeah, I mean, they're a very good team, the Denver Nuggets, so I don't think you can argue with it.
Some would say they're a championship team.
Yeah, I mean, I have the Minnesota Timberwolves being number five, mm-hmm. The Sacramento Kings number four.
Okay.
Like I said before, I believe in the Sacramento Kings. I just also believe in the other three teams more. Denver Nuggets I have third. I don't think the Denver Nuggets are going to be much worse than they were last season. I just think that they will be valuing, like they're coming off of a very short offseason. They're going to be valuing rest, I think, a lot more. And they also have to develop their depth,
ooh,
which is something they didn't necessarily have to do before.
Here's the thing with the Nuggets that I think should be considered when it comes to them. I think more so than any team, they should absolutely take the regular season seriously. We talk about regular season doesn't mean much. It's all about the playoffs. Their home court advantage is much more significant than most teams because of the elevation.
Well, and then here's the other thing with the Nuggets that that I think some people have mentioned, but they were incredibly healthy with some players that are traditionally very unhealthy. Michael Porter Jr. played nearly a full season. Jamal Murray played nearly a full season. Both of those guys, you know, throughout their careers have been consistently on the IR for significant portions of the season. I'm not saying that that means that they're going to get injured this year, but they were very lucky in the injury department last year, and that contributed a lot to their overall success.
The bonus knocks down a three.
Nice. So then number two, I have the Phoenix Suns. Like I mentioned before, I think that they have a really good team. I also think that they're going to be like, just from the nature of the composition of their top four players, they're going to need to rely heavily on their bench, and you know, I think that they'll help them in the long run, but they might lose a game here or there. I don't think that they're a terrible team, though. I have them number two. And then number one, I have the New Orleans Pelicans. I think you're going to get 65 games from Zion, and if you can get 65 games from Zion, they're going to be the best team in the West in the regular season.
But what makes you think he's going to play 65 games?
I mean, I'm honestly just basing it largely off of my overall comp to him being kind of like Joel Embiid.
Has he played 65 games combined in the last 3 years?
Yeah, 2 years ago he played 60. So
okay, so he's
or not two he's years really ago, shown three, year, that he can do three that. Years ago he played 60.
But how much has he played combined in the last two?
I think it's like he's played, I think, 160 games in five seasons or something like that. So it's not very many.
But if he's healthy, he's healthy.
Yeah, 2 years ago he missed a whole season as well. Remember, so
it's just like that thing with Anthony Davis where they put that thing out there where he has to play this many games, and no one takes for seriously that he's going to do it because that's just not what Anthony Davis does.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I feel like I understand where people would be coming from there. I think that we also unfairly judge people based off of thing. Like, I feel like people jump to a conclusion based off of the fact they've never seen it before, so they'll never see it. So they haven't seen Zion be healthy before, so they never believe that he'll be healthy. Just like they hadn't seen Embiid be healthy before until he was healthy.
Right. And then he's kind of just maintained it.
Exactly, right? You don't even hear people talking about it anymore. That's the other aspect of it. So, like, I think that Dallas Mavericks have been doing a really good job penetrating around Wembanyama. It's very interesting how they're attacking him.
They're going to lay the blueprint, and it's going to spoil everything. Y'all got to figure it out, Spurs.
Yeah, I know. They're down 18-12 to the Spurs right now. they better watch out. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at with regards to the New Orleans Pelicans, and that's where I feel like they are in the West. Who do you have as your finals prediction?
Man, I'm going to say Suns-Celtics.
Ooh. Yeah, that's not terrible. I don't hate that guess at all. Let's see here. I probably will go Celtics. I'm probably going to go Celtics Nuggets. No, you know what? I'm going to go Milwaukee Nuggets. And I think Milwaukee wins it.
I should have started John Collins. Of all people, John Collins, really?
I mean, who knows what the hell's going to happen there, right? That's what they love the most. I'm locking in Jason Tatum.
So I'm looking at John Collins, and in the second quarter in this FBL league, he's got 14 fantasy points. And I'm like, of all people, John Collins? Like, when did we saw that coming? He had a sorry preseason.
So are we both in agreement? Defensive Player of the Year is going to go to Wemby.
You know, I think it'd be neat if it does. He's got to stay healthy. I don't have any reason to assume that he wouldn't stay healthy. But everyone always with these tall guys are like, well, they've got to be careful with their legs. But
yeah,
you know, just Sabonis going to knock down another three? Nah, he's short. He's short. I think there's a greater than 0% chance that he wins it. Again, though, they might give it a more established name just for the sake that a lot of media writers are sticklers and sticks in the mud. And
so what's your prediction for them for a Defensive Player of the Year? Who do you think's going to get it?
That's a pickle. I don't know. Probably Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis, yeah, that's a good pick. If he gets healthy,
if he's healthy,
Yeah, I think he's healthy. Then, like, I think, you know, it's indisputable that he is. Like, I think he was the best defensive player in the league last season.
Right.
But I don't think he was healthy enough to get the award. So, like, I believe, like, I understood why someone like Jaren Jackson Jr. or why Evan Mobley or whomever was nominated for it. But, you know, if the offensive bending that Wembanyama did in the preseason matches what will happen in the regular season, yeah, it'll be twice the effect that we saw from Anthony Davis, I think. So
he's definitely out here looking like a transformer more so than a person.
Yeah, for sure. And my last question:
the Kings have. And the half's not over yet. They've got 72 points in the first half.
Yeah, I saw that their new guy, the European MVP, Vezenkov, he's already got 8 points, 2 rebounds, and a steal.
This offense is crazy, man.
So the last question before we wrap it up, I think. MVP. If you had to pick three players that you would put on your shortlist for MVP the season.
I do have a bold prediction if this is the last thing you want to do. Yeah. Even as scoring champ, I think this is the year that Devin Booker wins the scoring title.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. I don't know if he'll play enough games, but I mean, I could see it. Like, he definitely has the talent to do it.
I think what we saw from him in the playoffs.
Yeah,
we've already seen him.
What I'm saying is,
his efficiency has been so.
He has a talent for it for sure, and like he's seems to have the cheat code, and then on top of that, the spacing that he gets with Durant and Beal
is unfair.
Yeah, no, I mean like he definitely has the talent to do it. I like the only thing that would hold it up is the health aspect, but yeah, I could see that happen. So is that who you're going for MVP?
I think he's one of my three finalists. I think it's going to be Booker. I think it's going to be Jokic. I think I don't want to be normal basketball guy and go Giannis here. Let's go Tatum.
Yeah. So my favorite to win it is Zion.
Okay.
And that's my hot take. That's my bomb.
Yeah, you have, it's not really a bomb because you have them as your one. So
yeah. And so that is a Zion. I go Zion, Jokic, and I'd go Tatum, I think would be my three.
Don't believe in Booker, huh?
No, I don't
believe in Zion. So I guess it's fair.
I think he's great. I the same reason why I stay away from Giannis is the same reason why I stay away from Booker. It's very hard for teams with two MVPs to have an MVP win, you know? Like, it's like anytime you've ever seen like that happen, like it's the same thing. Like, Durant never won any with Golden State. Curry never won anything when Durant was at Golden State. Like, you know, they were clearly the best players. They were on the best team, but they were never in consideration. You know, so, and I think that could happen to Devin Booker. And also, I'm wondering as well, based off reputation, if Phoenix does really well, if the voters would lean more towards giving Durant credit for it than they would Devin Booker. It would be another
thing. I think the way that they've looked since Durant.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Like, I think that Booker right now is the better player, I think, in their current condition. I think Durant is the better historical player, but. Like, I definitely am on that side. I'm not sure that people who would vote
would don't watch every game would feel that way or notice that or think of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think there's a couple there's a couple things like there. And then obviously the overall health aspect. I'm on the record with my thoughts on where on the Phoenix Suns big three and my concerns about their overall health over the last three seasons. But that said, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Devin Booker won it. I think there's a lot of things that he has to work against him that will make it difficult for him to win it.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it's going to be a fun year. I'm excited. I'm happy that the NBA is back.
Yeah, I am too. And I'm happy that we all tuned in back into the Fool Court Press podcast. We're the only podcast made by fools for fools. You can call the show and leave a voicemail at our voicemail number at 724-FU-FOOLS. That's 724-383-6657. Follow us on Twitter at FCourt Press. Topic suggestions can be sent at hashtag FCP Rundown. Also, follow us on Instagram or Threads at Fool Court Press Podcast or on TikTok at FCourt Press Pod. I'm Lufa. I was joined today by Sandy. Sandy, say goodbye.
We're also on Blue Sky.
We are also on Blue Sky. That is a fun way of saying goodbye in his native tongue. All right. Keep having fun, bros, or die trying.
See ya.